1 Peter 4:12, beloved, think it not strange. Hey, man, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Look at that next verse. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. You see that? Friend, if you're going through a strange trial right now, if you're going through some strange circumstances, God allows these things to show you, first of all, you're being a partaker of the sufferings of Christ. And at the same time, he tells you, you can rejoice and you can be glad with an exceeding joy. Yes, I know it's hard. Yes, I know it's difficult. Yes, I know you don't understand it. Verse 14, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Friend, tonight, if you've been reproached for the name of Jesus, you ought to be happy. You ought to be happy. I think about some strange things that happen in our lives sometimes. I feel like I'm maybe talking to me tonight more with this message than anything else. Lord had me digging around. He showed me a verse, and it started digging down on my soul to help me. You know, we go through some strange things. We can't understand why things happen the way they do, and the Lord allows these things to happen. I mean, you think about Jesus. What happened in Jesus' life? Well, I mean, he was hated. He went around doing nothing but good, but he was hated. Amen? And they took him, and they falsely accused him. And based off of the false accusal, they condemned him to die. And they beat him and they bludgeoned him. And guess who it was that sold him out? The one that was probably the closest, the treasure of the whole group. It was Judas, his own hand-picked disciple, that turned against him. Although he knew what was going to happen, it didn't surprise him. But guess what happened? Friend, when he had to suffer, he was still happy. Hey, he endured the cross, despising the shame for the joy that was set before him. He knew that he was going to see a lot of folks be saved because he gave his life for a bunch of old sinners. Now, friend, I don't know why things happen to you the way they do. But you can rejoice because, friends, you're being accused or you're being talked about or you're being run down. And maybe they're telling lies on you and half-truths and untruths. And I run across this verse in Mark 13. Run across this verse as I was reading and thinking about strange things happening. Mark 13. We just do Bible study 101. Now this is talking about the end days. And I believe we're probably living in the end times now. Now, verse 9. But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils. And in the synagogues you shall be beaten. And you shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither do you premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. This strange trial that's happening to you, these strange events, these twists and chains that's going on in your life, God has allowed them, first of all, that you might understand what it's like to suffering, being a partaker of Christ's sufferings. We all are going to have a cross that we must bear as we follow Jesus. But there's a second reason he allows these things, and it's found at the end of verse 9. The Bible says it's for a testimony against them. You understand that God is gathering evidence, and he allows situations to take place in your life First of all, to show you about suffering and teach you to trust Christ. But second of all, to gather evidence against those who do you wrong. You might say it like this, that God is involved in an undercover operation. It's a sting. He's gone undercover to gather evidence in what they're saying about you, how they're treating you, and he's gathering evidence, and one day when they stand, he's going to say, look what you did to my man. Look what you said about my people. It's for a testimony against them. And listen, preacher, I don't like that very much. Why would he do that? Listen, there's undercover operations every day. I mean, drug officers have to go undercover. Amen? And they allow things to happen so that they might catch the criminal in the middle of the drug deal. And God, he knows what's going on, but he allows some things to happen to catch them red-handed. And when God's got them, he's got them. So I got to thinking about that verse, and I went all the way back to the Old Testament, to 2 Samuel. So let's go there and study just a little bit. We're going to title the message this tonight, The Shame of Shimei. The Shame of Shimei. Number one, I want us to see tonight the sin of Shimei. In 2 Samuel chapter 16, we realize what has happened. King David has sinned by committing adultery with Bathsheba. He went further and had her husband basically murdered. Now David has been judged by God, and God said, the sword shall not depart from your house. We see one of his sons rape a half-sister. And we see her brother turn and kill his half-brother. I mean, so now because of David's sin, there is the judgment of God falling upon his family as one daughter is raped and one son is killed. And now the young man Absalom, the son of David, has raised up himself in pride, and he's run his own daddy off the throne of Israel. And we see David as he takes his band of mighty men and most all of his cabinet members except Ahithophel. Ahithophel was David's right-hand counselor. He was closer to David than anybody else in the camp. But David had committed adultery with his family, okay? And Ahithophel has turned on David and has defected to the side of Absalom. Now, what is David going to do? In 2 Samuel chapter 16, David begins to leave. He is forced to flee the throne because of the rebellion of his son Absalom. He's fleeing because he does not want to war with his son. He does not want to see warfare in Jerusalem, so he thinks the best thing he can do is just leave. Verse 5. And when King David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. Now let's identify who this man is. He is part of the house of Saul. Saul was the former king. David is the new king. Saul was killed in battle. Jonathan, his son, was killed in battle. And all the royal family except Mephibosheth and this boy Shimei, they've been killed. Shimei has got a problem with David automatically because Shimei feels like he was part of the royal family and now David's the new king and Shimei got put on the back burner and he didn't appreciate it. And now David's having to flee the throne. And as David is fleeing, the coward Shimei steps out and begins to cuss King David as King David is leaving. I can just see King David and his men as they're marching away from Jerusalem down the hill in the ravine there. And I can see Shimei above David as he marches off,
come out to his back and start cursing King David. Verse 6 says, and he cast stones at David and at all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, thou man of Belial. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. As he followed David, he threw stones, implying trying to stone someone to death. He's trying to kill King David. And then he's cursing at King David, and that is implying that he is treating him with contempt and is dishonoring King David as King David walks away. And Shimei, as he cusses him, he accuses him and says, the Lord is judging you because of the way you treated Saul. Can I have your attention for a minute? I'm going to make an announcement, see if you agree. David is not being judged for how he treated Saul. He was righteous with Saul every step of the way. Saul 9 times tried to kill David. One time he said, David, I have sinned. You're more righteous than me. And you know what? David turned to forgive him and walk away. And about that time, a javelin came whizzing by his head and went straight over into the wall. You see, Saul wasn't really repentant at all. He just tried to buy a little bit more time so he could kill David. No, David is not being judged for how he treated Saul. He treated Saul better than Saul deserved. He even said, I will not touch God's anointed. God put Saul on the throne and I will not touch him. David is being judged because of his sin with Bathsheba, because of his murder of her husband Uriah the Hittite. And now David has to go and flee the throne and all his mighty men with him, and some one-eyed rebel named Shimei, who had it out for David and had it in his heart the whole time, said, the way you treated King Saul and the way you've treated our nation, God is judging you. And he throws stones with the intent to kill him, and he cusses him like a yard dog. Verse 9. Let me say this. David said it, did he not? Touch not mine anointed, says the Lord. God said, do not touch my man. When Shimei is throwing stones at God's man, David may have sinned, but he's still God's man. And Shimei is throwing stones to hurt the man of God. And now he's cussing. The Bible says in the book of Exodus, he says, curse not thy ruler. Now, Shimei's got himself in a lot of trouble here. In fact, I want to read to you out of Proverbs. Please look this verse up. This might be helpful to you at some point in time in your life. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse number 16. David was a man after God's own heart. David was a man that did sin. David was also a man that repented of his sins. You remember that? He begged God to forgive him, and God did forgive him. But hear what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to got an announcement. See if you agree with me. Just because God forgives sins does not change circumstances. If you've been a drunkard your whole life, and you come and get saved, 2 years later, you could get cirrhosis of the liver. You may come back and say, well, I got saved. Yeah, but see, because you was a drunkard, it did not change the circumstances that you've done to your body. Okay? David has got forgiveness of God, but the circumstances are judgments come to his family. Proverbs 24, verse 16 says this, for a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth. Let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth. You read that? Don't you laugh at the calamity of your enemy. You have somebody against you, and something happens in their life, as chastisement comes, don't you say, well, good, they got what they deserved. Tell you what, God will turn that thing around on you. David has sinned and he's headed out the other direction, and old Shimei is cursing the man of God. He's laughing at and rejoicing at David's calamity. He says, let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth, lest the Lord see it and it displease him and he turn away his wrath from him. If God turns his wrath away from King David for being cursed and stones being thrown at him as his enemy is rejoicing, if God turns his wrath away there, who you think his wrath's going to fall on? Let's see, I'm going to make an announcement, see if you agree with this. God is gathering evidence against Shimei. God has allowed these circumstances to come in David's life, yes, to bring judgment, but at the same time to show everybody what Shimei really was. God's got him now throwing stones and cussing God's own anointed man. And it's for everybody to see. Go back with me to 2 Samuel chapter 16. You see, God's got an undercover operation going on here. It's the shame of Shimei. He's called him red-handed in 2 Samuel 16, verse 9. Then said Abishai, the son of Zariah, unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. And the king said, what have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? Preacher, what does all that mean? David's sister's name is Zeruiah. Abishai is his nephew. Abishai is one of David's mighty men in that great catalog. Abishai says, David, who does he think he is to cuss you? Let me take off his head right now. You're still the king. Though you may be fleeing, we still are your mighty men. Let us take off his head right now. And the king said, what have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord hath said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? And David said to Abishai and to all his servants, behold, my son, which came forth of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone and let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. As David is leaving, he says, Abishai, don't touch him. If he wants to cuss me, let him cuss. I deserve it. I did commit adultery with Bathsheba. I did have her husband murdered. I'm guilty on all charges. And yes, I know God forgave me, but maybe God's told him to cuss me. You understand? God's gathering evidence for a testimony against Shimei. David said, in comparison, my boy Absalom's trying to kill me. He hates me that bad. I don't think my fight is with Shimei. I'm trying to get my family together and my own son's trying to kill me and I escape for my life. I'm going to give Shimei the benefit of a doubt. Let him cuss me. It'll be okay. What about somebody say, just go ahead and cuss. It'll be all right. That sound like Jesus to me. That sound like Jesus to me. Just go ahead and cuss me and mock me and rail against me all you want to. Just go ahead. But I still love you. I'm still your king. I still died for your sins, amen. I don't want to cuss my king. I don't want to throw stones at him, amen. I want to love him and adore him, hallelujah. Verse 12, David says, it may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. I think David's got in mind that scripture that Solomon, his son, wrote in Proverbs about if you're going to reproach your enemy and rejoice while he's going down, God's wrath may turn around on you. He says, maybe God will requite me for the way he's treated me. And as David and his men went by the way, Shimei went along on the hillside over against him and cursed as he went and threw stones at him and cast dust. Casting dust, preacher, what does that mean? Y'all ever watched a baseball game? Four people. Baseball is a game where you get a bat, and this filler throws a baseball at you, and you're trying to hit it. And it's a nice game, goes nine innings, you get three outs every inning, and the team with the most, oh yeah, y'all understand now, okay. Have you ever seen an umpire make a call at first base, and maybe Billy Martin of the New York Yankees is the manager, and he disputes the call, and Billy Martin comes out and turns his hat around and starts yelling and screaming at the umpire? Have y'all ever watched one of them? Yeah, I guess I'm the only one ever seen somebody get upset at an umpire, because I know y'all ain't never yelled at one. And Billy Martin, what would he do when he got mad enough? He'd start kicking dust. What does that mean? It means I hate you so bad for what you said and what you've done. And can you see this man named Shimei, as he cusses David like a yard dog, and as he's throwing every stone in his path to try to hurt David, and finally as David's walking away, he just picks up dirt and he's just throwing it at him because he hates him that bad. He would do anything he can to get rid of David. But not one stone, I don't believe, hit David. I think God protected him. But I think we have all found out about Shimei's sin. What do you think? Is he guilty of hating David? What do you think? I'm going to need to get a better amen than that. Y'all better get with me. 10 o'clock will soon be here. What do you think? Amen. He's guilty. The sin of Shimei. That's a strange thing happening to David, don't you think? A strange thing. A man who loved his kingdom so much that he would run away and flee and back down, and him being cussed and have stones thrown at him and dirt cast at him the whole time. That's a strange thing. Don't you think? Strange. Now look with me in chapter 19. Chapter 19. I want you to see, second of all, the salutation of Shimei. Go all the way down with me to about verse 15. Let me tell you what's happened. Absalom, in his rebellion against David, rides in a war and takes all his men to attack King David. But Absalom, foolishly, rides his horse, or mule, right under the oak tree. And this boy's got long, flowing hair. He was so prideful with it, he had it measured every year how much his hair weighed. And his hair got caught in the bow of that tree. And his mule left him. And there he hung by the hair of his head. And Joab, David's general, seeing Absalom, the man who is hating David to try to kill him, and he ran him through with three darts into his heart and killed David's son. And they came and told King David that Absalom was dead. And it broke David's heart, and he said, "Oh, Absalom, Absalom, my son, would to God I had died for you. But now Israel's without a king." And so they send word for David to return. And they said, "David, you've never really done us anything but good. And we want you to come home." And so David comes to the Jordan River, and he needs to cross the Jordan River to get over to Jerusalem to take his throne back. And verse 15 says, "So the king returned and came to Jordan, and Judah came to Gilgal to go to meet the king, to conduct the king over Jordan. And Shimei," remember him? The cusser and the one who threw stones at David. "And Shimei, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, which was of Bahurim, hasted and came down with the men of Judah to meet King David. And there were 1,000 men of Benjamin with him, and Ziba, the servant of the house of Saul, and his 15 sons and his 20 servants with him, and they went over Jordan before the king. And there went over a ferry boat to carry over the king's household and to do what he thought good. And Shimei, the son of Gera, fell down before the king as he was come over Jordan." Guess what? David's coming back to the throne. And the last time Shimei saw David, he cussed him and throwed stones at him and cast dirt at him. And now Absalom's dead. David's coming back. Shimei's going to have to eat a little crow. And quickly he says, I better get down there and meet King David, because he might not be too happy with me when he comes back. And he said unto the king, let not my lord impute iniquity unto me, neither do thou remember that which thy servant did perversely the day that my lord the king went out of Jerusalem, that the king should take it to his heart. For thy servant doth know that I have sinned. That's a confession. Amen. I have sinned. Therefore, behold, I am come the first this day of all the house of Joseph to go down to meet my lord the king. Now I want to give you a little information. Just because you confess sin does not mean you've repented of it and turned from it. I got two amens. I'm going to say it again. Just because you confess sin does not mean you have repented and turned from sin. You see, David's heard this language before. Saul had told him, I have sinned. And then as soon as David turned his back, he picked up a javelin to throw it at David after he confessed sin. And here comes this old boy, Shimei. And says, Lord, he says, my lord the king, don't impute iniquity to me. I tell you, I was perverse that day. I have sinned. You don't really hear him say, I'm sorry. You don't hear him say, I've acted irrationally. I'm sorry for what I said. I was wrong. I was a fool. I abhor myself. I repent. I turn from it. Please forgive me. Do you see where he asked David to forgive him? He just says, I've sinned. I've acted foolishly. But Abishai, that's the mighty man, the son of Zeruiah, answered and said, shall not Shimei be put to death for this, because he hath cursed the Lord's anointed? The word of God said, you better not cuss the ruler. The word of God says that you better not touch mine anointed. He said, should not this man be put to death? And David said, what have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah, that you should this day be adversaries unto me? Shall there any man be put to death this day in Israel? For do not I know that I am this day king over Israel? Therefore the king said unto Shimei, thou shalt not die. And the king sware unto him. You see him make his petition over his sin. You see him hear his potential sentence. Abishai said he deserves to die for the way he acted. But David came and he pledged to spare him and said, nobody's going to die this day. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Every one of us has a life to live. It might say that you have a candle to burn, but you better not blow your smoke in the face of God. Okay? Oh, Shimei, he's come to make this salutation, but it was without repentance. If you'll turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 2, I want you to continue to think with me on this pledge to spare. David says, nobody's going to die today. I'm the king. This is a day of goodwill. I'm returning back. There's been enough death and enough war and enough bloodshed, enough conflict, enough strife. Nobody's going to die. You're not going to die. In chapter 2 of 1 Kings, verse 1, now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and show thyself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, and his commandments, and his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. David is getting ready to die and turn the kingdom over to Solomon, and he encourages him to serve God. He gives him some more words, but skip with me to verse 8. David says, and behold, thou hast with thee Shimei, the son of Gera, a Benjamite of Bahurim, which cursed me with a grievous curse in the day when I went to Mananaim. But he came down to meet me at Jordan, and I swear to him by the Lord, saying, I will not put thee to death with the sword. Now therefore, hold him not guiltless. Evidently, David had a good reason to doubt the sincerity of Shimei. I guess it might be said that Shimei would not be trusted by David ever again. One good cussing and one good stoning is probably enough, don't you think? He said, I pledged to spare his life. I mean, this is a man who didn't even ask me for real forgiveness. Y'all with me? So he says to Solomon, I doubt his sincerity. He never really did make good on repentance. Now therefore hold him not guiltless. For thou art a wise man, and knowest what thou oughtest to do unto him. But his hoar head bring thou down to the grave with blood. And you may say, well, David never really forgave him. Now I'm going to say, Jesus is much greater than David. Jesus does forgive our sins. Amen. And he does not hold it against us anymore. But do we not have to ask Jesus to forgive us? Well, wait a minute, preacher. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. True. So does that mean everybody's going to heaven? We must repent of our sins and our wrongdoings. And when we come and confess our sins and repent, turning to Jesus, he forgives us. So King David never really has to forgive him because the man never really repented. In chapter 2, in verse 36, I want us to see thirdly, and we'll be done, the sentence of Shimei. Please remember, God has allowed all these things to happen because he's gathering evidence against Shimei. He's gathering evidence for a testimony against them. Now, I'm talking to somebody here tonight that you have some strange things going on in your life. There's some weird circumstances floating in your family. There's some issues going on right now where you work. And it's really been a trial of your faith. I mean, you're just about ready to get in the flesh. I mean, they've all but cussed you. And maybe they did behind your back. You don't know. They probably did. And they've not really thrown rocks at you, but they've thrown some pretty strong words that's cast doubt on your testimony. And it's hurt pretty bad. But you just had to take it. You'd like to tell them what you think, but you've understood the best way to conquer is yield. Just say, God, you know. I'm going to back up, and I'm going to let you take care of it. It's what Jesus did. When they turned on him, he gave his life that we might be saved. I want us to see the sentence of Shimei in verse 36. We have a new king, King Solomon, David's son. And the king sent and called for Shimei and said unto him, build thee a house in Jerusalem and dwell there, and go not forth thence any whither. You know what he did? He went to Shimei and said, you're moving. You're not going to live where you live no more. You've been my family's enemy. We're going to control you. Preacher, I don't like control. Jesus is in control. You may buck it all you want to, but Jesus is in control. I told you about how Joshua controlled the Gibeonites and put them at the house of God, and they learned to serve the Lord. So now, Solomon comes to his enemy Shimei and he says, you're moving out of your house, sell your property, and you're going to build a new house in Jerusalem, pretty close to where I live. I'm going to keep an eye on you. Well, that ain't fair. Why are you keeping an eye on me? Because I know what you did. And I don't trust you. And so you're going to build a new house, and you're going to live right here at Jerusalem, and you're not going to go any further than right here. I'm going to let you live, but it's with condition. Now the Bible says in the very next verse, for it shall be that on the day that thou goest out and passest over the brook Kidron, that thou shalt know for certain that thou shalt surely die, thy blood shall be upon thine own head. And Shimei said unto the king, the saying is good. As my lord the king has said, so will thy servant do. And Shimei dwelt in Jerusalem many days. We're going to say the boundaries are drawn. Are you with me? Shimei says, you want me to move to Jerusalem? Yep. And if you cross over the Kidron Brook, you're going to die. Shimei says, no problem. I can stay put. I have no problem living in Jerusalem. It's a godly city and a godly place. My family will do that well there. My livestock will do well there. Everything I need is there. Hey, I can live right there. Can I just point out to you this evening that God has some boundaries for your life that He wants you to live in. He does not want you to step off out into sin and going with the world and making deals with the devil. He wants you to stay put in the house of God and live a godly life for the Lord. God said, you live here, I'll bless you. But the day you step out, yon yon, my blessings are off. You understand? Solomon says, here's the boundaries drawn, you live right here. And Shimei said, that's good. At least I'm getting to live. I like that. But the binding declaration was this. He gives his word. Did Shimei give his word? I need an amen. Did Shimei give his word? The saying is good. He agreed to it. I want you to see the breach is discovered in verse 39. And it came to pass at the end of 3 years that two of the servants of Shimei ran away unto Achish, son of Maacah, king of Gath. And they told Shimei, saying, behold, thy servants be in Gath. And Shimei rose and saddled his ass and went to Gath to Achish to seek his servants. And Shimei went and brought his servants from Gath. For 3 years, are you with me? For 3 years, Shimei obeyed his pledge. I will stay in Jerusalem under your control. But he had two servants that run away. They went across the brook Kidron to the land of Gath. And Shimei just took it upon himself that I'm going to saddle my mule and I'm going to go get my two runaway servants and I'm going to bring them back. To do so means he's breaking his word. Now David had given his word to Shimei that he wouldn't die, that he would not kill Shimei, though Shimei deserved to die. David said, I will not kill you. But he warned his son, said, you better watch him. And so his son said, I'm going to control you in a good environment. And Shimei decided after 3 years, well, we've had a pretty good deal so far. I'm just going to slip off and go get my two runaway servants and bring back. Solomon will never know. He knows me by now. We're pretty good buddies. I mean, maybe he thought that his way was more important than the promise that he made to the king. See, we do this. We think that our ideas are better than God's way. And we'll criticize and accuse and do our little things and do our little dealings underhanded. But I'm telling you what, God's allowing some things to go on for a testimony against you. And I'm telling you, church, God's not playing games with this church. I don't care if you're here tonight, if you're listening by way of internet, or if you're going to hear it by CD. God ain't playing games with His church. You think you're going to get involved with things that you can accuse the man of God, and you can challenge the people of God, and you smile and grin about it, it's going to be all right, and be unrepentant? Never going to happen. And Shimei, you'll never be trusted again. We're going to control you. And the first time you step over a boundary, we're going to cut your throat. Preacher, what do you mean? That's what's going on for Solomon. And Shimei thought, king will never fall through with it. I got by with it before. I'll get by with it again. Verse 41. And it was told Solomon that Shimei had gone from Jerusalem to Gath and was come again. And the king sent and called for Shimei and said unto him, did I not make thee to swear by the Lord and protest it unto thee, saying, know for a certain, on the day that thou goest out and walkest abroad any whither, that thou shalt surely die? And thou saidst unto me, thy word that I have heard is good. Why then hast thou not kept the oath of the Lord and the commandment that I have charged thee with? Do you hear an answer? Shimei's got no answer. He's completely defied his promise to the king. Now, David had made good on his promise, and Shimei had cussed him and treated him like a dog, but David had made good on his promise. But how did Shimei act? He didn't make good on his promise, did he? And because of that, he's getting ready to die. The king said, moreover, to Shimei, thou knowest all the wickedness. You hear what I'm telling you, church? Thou knowest all the wickedness which thine heart is privy to. Shimei, you know the discussions going on your telephone line. You know the discussions that's gone on in your place of business. You know the discussions that's gone on at your house. You know the discussions that you've been privy to. Don't you look at me like you denied. Wickedness is all over your heart. Maliciousness has covered you up, Shimei. You know all about this. And that thou didst to David my father, therefore the Lord shall return thy wickedness upon thine own head, and King Solomon shall be blessed, and the throne of David shall be established before the Lord forever. So the king commanded Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, which went out and fell upon him, that he died. And the kingdom was established in the hand of Solomon. Shimei was put to death. God has some certain boundaries for us, church, in His Word. There are at least three boundaries that we can clearly identify. Number one, you better not sin away your day of grace. If God deals with you about salvation and you will not get saved, God has every right never to deal with you again. And send your soul to a devil's hell, and you'll not be able to complain at him, because he gave his life. He gave you the Holy Ghost to convict you. He drew you to an altar. He sent his man to preach to you. He dealt with your soul, and you said no. And therefore, you can sin away your day of grace and deserve to die for it. Number two, you can come to the day you die unsaved. And when you're lost, when you die, it never changes. You're lost in the devil's hell forever and ever. And you'll never get a second opportunity. And I think those are things for people that are unsaved. But here's the warning, church. I believe the shame of Shimei is going to be dealing with somebody who's saved. You can commit a sin unto death, which means that a believer can step away from the Lord so far that God would say, it would be better that you're turned over to a destruction of the flesh, that your soul would be saved, than for you to tear up my church, than for you to tear up my man. You may say, preacher, I really don't like those words. I'm not here for what you like and what you don't. I'm just here to preach to you the Word of God. And you see, the betrayer is destroyed. God said, I had rather take you out of this world than have you dishonor the name of Jesus. Paul dealt with one at the Corinthian church who was a saved man who was committing adultery with his father's wife. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5, he said, I'm going to deliver such a one as Satan to Satan for destruction of the flesh. Turned him over. Amen? Let me read this. We're done. We quoted that verse to you, Mark 10, verse 9, that God is allowing some evidence to be gathered. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 19, and if you think it's easy for me to stand up here and preach this message, you're crazy. 1 Corinthians 11:19. The Bible says, "For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you." Preacher, what does that mean? I'll tell you what it means. God says, I allow these divisions, these heresies, these strives, these contentions, these little problems to spring up, to gather evidence. But at the same time, the approved are going to be made manifest, because things are going to be brought to light. Hebrews 13. Preacher, I don't know why you would preach this message, because it's what God put on my heart. Hebrews 13, verse 17. The scripture says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Do you hear that? Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. I think the question needs to be asked. I'm going to get back here with y'all. Let's examine the facts. Can David, the king of all Israel, who will give an account for all of the people in his land, can David give an account for Shimei with joy? I'm asking a question. It got really quiet. Can David give an account to God for one of his citizens named Shimei and do it with joy? Or is it done with grief? God, Shimei has caused me much grief. You saw it. I told him, go ahead and cuss. I deserve to be cussed. Go ahead and get mad. Throw stones, dirt. I deserve it all. How did David act? All right. Friend, I'm telling you, if someone who has rule over you is going to have to give an account for you, can that person give an account for you with joy? Oh, grief. Can that person stay? Maybe they're going to stand over your dead carcass and they're going to say, I wish every church member was like this one. They never caused me grief. They were always a joy in the ministry. They were always a help. They were always an encouragement. Can that be said? Oh, if it can't. I don't want my pastor where I've served under, where I went to church, when my carcass is brought out and somebody preached my funeral, I don't want them to say, boy, I tell you, he mistreated me. He was ugly to me. I don't want that to be said. I want my preacher to say, he loved the Lord. He raised his family right. He was faithful. And he was a joy to me. That's what I want my life to be. I don't want my life to be a grief to nobody. Not a grief to nobody. There are some strange things that are happening in your life. Preacher, why are they happening? First of all, you're partakers of the sufferings of Christ. But second of all, God is gathering some evidence. And this is just the way the things need to turn out. This is the way it needs to go for right now. So which side do you land on? Can you say, I want joy, always I want joy?